So you, where do you stand? You are part of the church. You are the branches brought in and grafted in. No, we do not replace Israel, but rather we are included with the remnant of Israel, just as God had foretold. And we are included, as Paul says, by faith. So don't boast in your position. Whether it's you belong to a church that has long held the word and provided the nourishing sap, or whether you're in a church that seems to be new and improved according to their own standards and looks down on others, don't boast. You belong to the line that traces back to Abraham, and you stand by faith.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. April 6, 2025. Romans 11, verses 11 to 21.
If you ask anyone what they think about Israel, you get a lot of different answers. Different answers today, different answers in different periods of history. And there'd be a lot of confusion, too, about what people within the church and without the church talk about and think about Israel. Why all the confusion? Why all the different stories or accounts or ideas about the people of Israel? It's really not that complicated. When you look at what the scriptures say, we find a clear answer. In fact, the Apostle Paul decides to address it in the letter to the Romans as he writes to a primary Gentile group, and he wants them to know the truth about God's people, Israel, and what it means for them. Because there's a temptation on either side for arrogance to take hold. And Christ, as he brings Israel and the church of Gentiles together, he opens the door to a new life, one that is free from arrogance. First of all, as you look at Israel, you might say, well, what about God's plan? Because didn't God give Israel a lot of promises? Think about the things he said to Abraham. Your descendants will be blessed. And through your seed, your offspring, the whole world will be blessed. And still to this day, there's contention, wondering how is that fulfilled in Israel? You look at the history of the people of Israel, and there are times of blessing, but there are many times where you see them oppressed. So how is that carried out? You look at the salvation plan, and it becomes clear. Paul points out, as he's going to the Gentiles, as he's reaching the Gentile audience, don't forget the people of Israel. He says at the start of chapter 11 in Romans, did God reject his people? Did he reject the Israelites? Absolutely not. First of all, he points out, I'm an Israelite. Don't forget that. And then he points to an event in the Old Testament that might seem to remind the people how God never forgets his promise to Israel. A time when Elijah the prophet appealed to God and said he was the only one left. And what did God say to Elijah? As Elijah thought that Israel was forsaken by God, he was told, Elijah, I've preserved in Israel 7,000 who haven't worshipped the false god Baal, bowed down to him or kissed him. See, God kept a remnant, even though many in Israel forsook God. Many fell away and worshipped other gods. God preserved a remnant of faithful people who still trusted in him, even in the most difficult times. And that's the way it's always been. God has kept a remnant of Israel. And yet, the people in Paul's time might look at that and say, well, look at how many people in the Gentile church have come in. Look at all these believers that now are part of the church from Greeks and Macedonia and other places. They are the church now. And some Christians actually go so far as to teach that Gentiles have replaced the Jewish people in the church. Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, Paul does quote the Old Testament as he says, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so they could not see, ears so they could not hear. And the prophet Isaiah long foretold what would happen with Israel as it was commissioned. God said to him, say to the people of Israel, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, close their eyes, otherwise they might see and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And then Isaiah says, "For how long, Lord?" And God replies, "Until the cities lie ruined, the fields ravaged, and the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will be laid waste. But, once again, a remnant, as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be a stump in the land. So Israel, the people, will be hardened, rejecting their Messiah, turning aside from the Lord. Many of them will turn away, and yet God once again preserves a remnant. So why? What does all this stumbling, this hardening of Israel have to lead to? God presents for us the world stage. Paul says, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Absolutely not. Did these Israelites, these people who drove Paul out of town, these very Israelites who rejected their Messiah, are they now just gone? Are they out of the church forever? Not at all, Paul says. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. But if their transgression means riches for the world, their loss riches for the Gentiles, how much greater their fullness? It's almost like God is seeing the people in the Gentile world and how they need the gospel. So he says to Israel, here's the gospel, send it to them. And the Israelites say, no. So God says, Gentiles, enter my church. It's like a father who is standing before an ice cream truck and his own children are there and he's offering them this free gift of ice cream and they're saying to him, we don't need that. We're too old for that. We don't want that from you. So the father invites all the other children standing around who aren't part of his family to enjoy free ice cream so that his own kids start to become envious and decide they really want that too. This is the plan that God worked out. Paul says, because of their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles. What role did Israel play? They carried God's word. And when they no longer wanted the word of God, the apostle Paul and others with him dusted off their feet and said, we will go to the Gentiles. And part of that, Paul says, is so I might make some of them, my own people, envious and save some of them. Once again, there's a remnant. Paul says, if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? God does not look on Israel as if it's gone and forsaken. But rather, if you look earlier in the book of Romans, he says, not all who are Israel. That is, those who are children of the promise are Israel. Consider, he mentioned earlier, how Abraham did have offspring through Ishmael, but they were not children of the promise, but the one born of Isaac, of the promise. That's the one that receives the promise. And he makes that a picture for those who would believe are included in God's kingdom. Now we get to the part where Paul addresses us. Why should we care so much about Israel? Paul makes an illustration. He says, if some of the branches have been broken off, though you, a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in, and you share in the nourishing sap, do not consider yourself superior to those other branches. What's going on here? This picture he's developing of a tree. We have to understand wild plants and wild fruits and natural fruits. When I was younger, we would go out into the woods near our house and we would forage for some of the wild fruits. And it was always a treat when you could find the wild blueberries growing up a tree somewhere and take some of those wild blueberries. And then you tried some of them and you realized wild blueberries are nothing like the thing in the store. If you don't get them at the right time, they're pretty bitter and the seeds are just about as big as the blueberry. They're good, but not quite the same. Or the strawberries. We'd find the treasure of a little strawberry hidden on the floor and you'd pick it up and say, I found a strawberry, but it would be this tiny, tiny little strawberry. Nothing like the large, plump ones that are cultivated and placed in the stores. Well, it's the same thing with wild olive trees and cultivated olive trees. Some of the olive trees around Israel are still standing, some speculate, even from the time of Jesus, as they cultivate them, they graft them, and they clone them. And what's Paul getting at with this picture of wild fruits, wild olives, and natural cultivated olives? Israel, you see, is the cultivated tree. Like Jesus' parable, the vineyard, he long cultivated the people of Israel to carry his word, to hold his promises, to be fruitful in the world. And yet Paul goes on to describe what happened. He says, some of those branches that came from the root, Abraham, their patriarch, and the blessings and promises given to Abraham and held by the people, they fell off, and they were like dead branches thrown on the ground. And the Gentiles were wild olive shoots. They shouldn't have been there, but God decided to bring them into that tree where they could receive the life-giving nourishment from the patriarchs and the blessings of the gospel, the promise of the Messiah. Paul makes an application here. He says, do not consider yourself superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You don't support the root, but the root supports you. The Gentiles in the church outnumbered the Jews, I'm sure, by far. And they might be looking at their circumstance and saying, God has rejected the Jews, and now he wants us to be his people. And you can imagine the arrogance and the pride that would creep in the church as one ethnic group over another started to look at their stance, and Paul turns it around and says, whoa, wait a second. You who are boasting, can you boast? When you don't deserve to be here, but you were brought in as a wild olive shoot to the nourishing sap that they once enjoyed. And those branches, Paul says, they were broken off because of unbelief. Don't become arrogant because you have a standing or a position in God's church. Sometimes this might apply to the way that we live our life in God's church. No, there's not many Jews among us today. There are about 19 million in the world, very small in number compared to the billions of Christians. Should the Christians who are numbered in billions ever look down on the Jewish people who are in this world because they rejected their Messiah? Because they are like branches that have been broken off. Should they ever claim that they are now set aside by God and he loves only us? Paul says, of course not. There's always a remnant. And though it's small, statistics indicate about 5% of those 20 million Jews still from Jewish birth or from Jewish worship now follow Christ. There's a remnant. Just as there was in Paul's time, there is today. Do not consider yourself superior to others. Maybe we might consider ourselves superior in other ways. You might say, well, my family has a church where we do things much better than those old ways. And someone might say, those older churches, they deserve to die off because, well, they've lost their numbers and they're dwindled in numbers. But my church has a lot of numbers and we do things the best way. God really loves the types of Christian like me. And those large, prosperous churches might begin to look down on some of the small, dwindling churches. Ought they? When it's actually those smaller, dwindling churches that carried the gospel generation after generation for them and who gave that life-nourishing sap. Or maybe you know someone who has been broken off from the church and who is like a dead branch, and you might say, well, they don't deserve it anymore because they had their chance. And once again, Paul says, don't be arrogant because they can be brought back in, just as the people of Israel can be brought back in and grafted onto those branches and once again receive life from the root, so they can. God's church is one where everybody, regardless of your history, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from, stands on a level plane. Earlier in this book, he said to the Jews, do you think you have an advantage? You don't. We're all under the law. And now he says to the Gentiles, do you think you have an advantage? You don't. We all need the gospel. There we stand at the foot of the cross, as it said, on level ground. None of us can boast. And it's only because of this that we can stand in God's church. God preserved a remnant. That should humble us. Though Israel long had turned aside and rejected him, still God preserved people who carried his word. Though many in Israel, even in Isaiah's time, turned aside from the Lord, still he sent his prophets, as we saw in that parable. Over and over, he sent his prophets, even though they killed him. God preserved a remnant. His promises to Israel stand. And still, that faithful remnant kept the word of God, transmitted it until the day came when their Messiah showed up. He is the one who is that shoot coming up from that broken stump. What seemed like a deserted and ended line would not be abandoned, because not only did God preserve a remnant who believed, but God preserved his promise of the line of the Savior. And from that root of Abraham came a small branch, one who's prophesied to be a sprout from the line of Jesse. And he became the vine that gave life to the branches, by himself covering all the rejection and sin, saying for those who had rejected him, "How I long to gather you." And he still does. So you, where do you stand? You are part of the church. You are the branches brought in and grafted in. No, we do not replace Israel, but rather we are included with the remnant of Israel, just as God had foretold. And we are included, as Paul says, by faith. So don't boast in your position. Whether it's you belong to a church that has long held the word and provided the nourishing sap, or whether you're in a church that seems to be new and improved according to their own standards and looks down on others, don't boast. You belong to the line that traces back to Abraham, and you stand by faith. Christ opens the door by his death and by his glorious resurrection to a people who receive life, not of their own accord, but because of the promise given to Abraham, the promise fulfilled and kept for a remnant of Israel who still believe, and who will believe, and who will be brought back in, and the promise of you, a wild olive shoot, those of us who have been brought into this life-giving tree. We stand under Christ, and we praise him. Amen.